From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. The Interagency Bison Management Program partners met at Chico Hot Springs Resort in early November. The partners include tribal representatives, state and federal officials. When the Park Service attempted to change some language in the group's adaptive management plan, the executive officer of the Montana Department of Livestock protested. But there's a lot more to the story than this one meeting. At play are simmering tensions between the state of Montana and the Park Service over managing the migratory bison that call Yellowstone National Park home for most of the year. And with me today is Brett French, outdoor editor at the Billings Gazette, who attended the gathering and has reported on Yellowstone bison for years. So, Brett, what happened at this meeting of, you know, all of the different management stakeholders for Yellowstone bison? You know, what drew protest from the Department of Livestock?
Yeah, Tom, so the Park Service proposed four amendments to the adaptive management plan for bison management. And they varied from things like recognizing that the Custer-Gallatin National Forest is now called the Custer-Gallatin and not the Gallatin National Forest, recognizing how old that document has been around since like 2000. So, and then there were some other things like recognizing the Gallatin National Forest Management Plan and how that addresses possibility of tolerance zones being expanded. And the one thing that drew the most fire was a proposal by the Park Service to remove language that talked about vaccinating bison within Yellowstone National Park.
Why? You're going to have to, I think, explain for folks why that is such a big deal.
So the Park Service is saying that information is moot, no longer applies. Since 2017, National Academies of Sciences did a study on brucellosis, and in the findings said that without vaccination or elimination of brucellosis in the elk that roam through the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, that it was not necessary to have a vaccination program just for bison in Yellowstone National Park.
So this definitely is not what the Montana Department of Livestock wants to hear.
Right. So,
or to be the status quo, I guess.
Right. They're worried that the removal of the language takes that off the page entirely. In other words, they kind of want that language in there just as a placeholder to say that we're still concerned about brucellosis and managing brucellosis inside the park.
So, and I mean, I guess we probably should have done this earlier, but can you do a quick primer on the brucellosis bison livestock conflict?
Yeah, so in short, the idea is to restrict bison movement outside of the park to designated surveillance zones on the west and north sides where they can be hunted by tribal and public hunters, and also to contain them so they don't interact with livestock. So on the west side, they've removed bison grazing allotments on the Gallatin National Forest. And on the north side, they just kind of contain them within that Gardner Basin and don't let them move any farther into the Paradise Valley. So those are the ways to keep the bison separated from cattle to avoid any brucellosis transmission.
Right, right. Okay, so what was the Park Service's response to Department of Livestock's concern?
Yeah, so out of the four concerns, this one regarding vaccination was the one that prompted the superintendent, Cam Shawley, to speak up and say, well, the vaccination program inside Yellowstone, if there's ever going to be one, or if there is one or not, is going to be decided by the Park Service and not by the state of Montana. And this was kind of highlighting this, like you mentioned, the simmering tensions between the state and the Park Service regarding bison management under this new Gianforte administration. I guess it's not so new anymore, though, is it? Newer.
Right. Okay, and so I guess why does the state of Montana have a seat at the table if, you know, the Park Service effectively manages these bison in the park, you know, and like what's behind that tension between these two agencies at play?
Yeah, so the Park Service just came out with its draft bison management plan in August, and it was heavily criticized by the Gianforte administration, also signed by the Department of Livestock and the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks directors. And in addition to being very specific about wanting the bison population to be capped at 3,000 animals, which wasn't mentioned in the EIS or the draft plan, they want the Park Service to do more for containing and killing, leaving more options on the table, I guess is what it comes down to. So the Park Service is kind of moving away from lethal management, ship-to-slaughter type management that it had done in the past, and wanted to allow more hunting of bison to control populations, as well as its bison conservation transfer program, where they trap live bison, hold them in quarantine till they find the ones that are free of brucellosis, and move them to tribals, entities around the country through the Fort Peck Reservation, where they finish out the quarantine program. Okay, so in response to this draft management plan, the state sent this really critical letter and included that talk about the vaccinations. And that's kind of what's heightened the tension between the state and the Park Service, that and the fact that the Gianforte administration says the Park Service shouldn't assume that those tolerance zones outside the park will remain. In other words, kind of threatening that if they don't like what's happening, they'll either remove the tolerance zones or the state and the Park Service will end up back in court again.
Right, and that's kind of the leverage that the state has, is that for, you know, part of the year, the bison are actually in the state of Montana outside of the park and are then, you know, managed by the state, and the state of Montana has these tolerance zones, right?
Right, and some of the tribes would like to see that tolerance zone expanded, so would some bison advocates. The argument is that by controlling where they migrate, you know, it's kind of removing that genetic predisposition to migrate, and basically farming bison in Yellowstone if you don't allow them to freely roam like other wildlife across the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once they come into the state, there's treaty right hunting. There is state managed hunting. And also at this meeting, Yellowstone reported its recent bison population survey that was conducted this summer after last year's high amount of bison harvested in last year's hunt. So how does this all play into this, you know, how does this population survey kind of play into where bison are at on the landscape now?
Yeah, so last year, as you mentioned, the bison migrated out in large numbers to that north side of the park, the Gardner Basin. Really harsh winter, lots of snow, lots of cold. And the population before winter was around 6,000 animals. Tribal hunters are estimated to have killed around 1,200 bison, almost 300 were captured for the transfer program. State hunters killed 75, and numerous others either were wounded and had to be put down. They shipped 88 to slaughter for one of the tribes. And so altogether, it was over 1,500 bison removed from the population last year, almost a 25% reduction. And interestingly, in the survey this summer, it showed that the population had rebounded quite a bit, almost 1,000 animals, just because the number of females is high, and apparently the fertility was really high. So they rebounded back from around 3,900 to around 4,800 by this summer with the calves. And so going into this hunting season, the Park Service is recommending that no more than 1,000 animals be taken from the population again, and that they try and limit the number of young bison removed and concentrate more on females, since they want to try to keep a more 50-50% of males to females. Right now, females outnumber males like 57-70%, depending on the groupings, I guess. And so that's their recommendation to the tribes for this hunting season.
Okay, so, but that's just a recommendation from the park. So where does that leave, you know, the situation with the state and the park with regards to, you know, this winter's Yellowstone bison hunt?
Right, so it all depends on the migration, right? So if we have a mild winter like being forecast right now, might see very few bison come out at all.
Right.
So it could be kind of a moot point. But if it is a harsh winter and the tribes aren't held to any specific number, sometimes they'll submit what they want to take. But last year, you know, the Nez Perce tribe took the majority of the bison that were harvested. And so they have no control over the tribes. The state has no control over the tribal hunts. They try to make it a cooperative thing, mainly for safety and to clean up. But that's all they can do, is make recommendations. And that's one of the reasons the tribes want to see the base population of the bison maintained at a higher number, so that they're are more likely to be animals that migrate out of the park so they can hunt them.
Hmm. Interesting. So remains to be seen, I guess, weather dependent, if we'll have the same situation down there like we had last year. Brett, so, you know, any final thoughts, observations from this meeting?
Yeah, there was one other unusual occurrence that I've been at a lot of meetings, and I've never seen somebody break into song at one. And they had a commenter during the public comment period had rewritten the words to Home on the Range, specific to bison management. So it was an unusual outcome for such a serious meeting to have somebody break into song. And then got a clip of it here. Wendy Whitehorn was the commenter.
Well, let's have a listen.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the D-O-L stays far, far away. Where seldom is heard that quarantine word, or whatever you're calling it now. And the gov gets a new heart someday. Home, home on the range, where the buffalo, like the elk, get to play. Where never is heard gunshots slaughtering 1/4 of the herd and leaving Blood Creek in their wake.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana Newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.